On today's episode, learn practical ways to leave a lasting legacy for Christ. We'll also look at several inspiring examples of a life well lived, questions from our listeners, a free book for Father's Day, and more.
You're listening to the Wisdom Hunters Podcast, helping you apply unchanging truth in a changing world.
Hello again, and welcome to the Wisdom Hunters Podcast. This is episode 6, and my name is Tripp Prince. I'm the content director for Wisdom Hunters. Here with me is Boyd Bailey, the president of Wisdom Hunters.
Well, Tripp, as always, I'm just so thrilled to be with you today.
This is wonderful. So good to have you. So good to have you listening with us, all of you. And it's been an eventful day for me, Boyd. Had to get my kids to the doctor this morning and woke all three of them up about 10 minutes before we had to leave. And so a bit of a hectic morning, and the remedy for that was Chick-fil-A lunch.
Of course.
And if you skip breakfast, you get Chick-fil-A lunch. That's how it goes.
And there were some surprises at the doctor's office. I'm proud of you for really exercising some significant patience.
Young children do not like surprise shots. If any parents are listening, you can relate to that.
I'm not sure I like surprise shots myself.
Yeah, I don't either. That's true. But yeah, Chick-fil-A lunch was the remedy, and kids are happy now. And I mention that because every time I go to Chick-fil-A, Boyd, I think of your story of interacting with the founder of Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathy, and especially a story of you attending his funeral. And we're talking today about leaving a legacy and the idea of living a life that has this legacy vision. And so I thought for our story, we could open with that. Just tell us a bit about your experience at Truett Cathy's funeral.
And I'll back up just a little bit, Tripp. Literally in the early 90s, I met Truett. We were planning a Billy Graham crusade here in Atlanta. Somehow ended up sitting next to him, which was quite a treat. And he asked for my business card, sent me a couple of signed books, of course, with a free chicken sandwich coupon within the book. And then as our children grew older, all four of them, we sent to Camp Windshape, which Truett was the kind of the camp speaker halfway through the 2 weeks. And we would go up and watch him in his white shirts and white tennis shoes and white golf shirt give this incredible wisdom to these children about how they need to grow up loving God and honoring their parents. And so it was 2014 in September, and I heard the news that he had gone to heaven, and I've been kind of tracking his health. A good friend of mine, Woody, was a good friend of Truett's. Truett informally adopted Woody over the years. And I sat and wept when, you know, I heard that he'd gone to be with our Lord. And I told Rita later, I thought, you know, why did I weep, Tripp? What was that? And I think I really loved him. And when you lose somebody you love, it touches your heart. And so I was determined to go to his funeral, which was a few days later. And I arrived 2 hours early. I was at First Baptist Jonesboro. I literally had to park a block away at the Methodist church and walk up. And again, this was 2 hours early, and I was able to find a seat barely. And I sat next to Hal, who owned the local auto parts store, who was in his 40s that Truett had taught at 8th grade Sunday school. He's sharing stories with me. It was just a beautiful celebration. And God really spoke to my heart out of, here's a man that left a legacy. And, you know, he left behind a good name. And that was actually his favorite Bible verse, was how that, you know, our name, our character is more valuable than riches. And he wanted to be a man with a good name. And he, of course, lived that way and practiced it. And it was a joy being there. Also supporting Woody. Woody gave one of the three eulogies, did a beautiful job. And it's a great experience.
That's wonderful. And you actually wrote a devotion based off of this experience, didn't you?
I did. What really spoke to my heart was, as I saw his life, is what really matters most in life. And I won't go through the whole devotion, but I actually wrote this devotion on September 22nd, 2014. But for him, he would ask this question, who is your master? He said there's three questions we need to ask. Who is our master? Who is our mate? And what is our mission? And for him, his master, you know, was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would quote this verse, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money," Luke 16:13. So for him, his master was Jesus. And of course, he chose a great woman who supported him all those years. And then his mission was to glorify God through his work and through his personal life. So I listed a few other things, how the character matters. I mentioned about his name. He was actually named after the famous preacher George W. Truett from First Baptist Dallas, where you just moved from. And he was also named after the prophet Samuel. So literally embedded in his name was this whole idea of character. He was a humble man. One of the thoughts I had is what Rita likes to say, that, you know, when you see a box turtle on top of a fence post, you knew he had help getting there. And so Truett often talked about that. And this came up in one of the eulogies, that he was always complimentary of even the floor sweepers. You know, he loved these types of in any walk of life. He was there to be a humble servant and a lover of people.
What an amazing man. If you'd like to read the devotion, you can find it on wisdomhunters.com. If you just search "What Matters Most," you'll find it. It was published on the 22nd of September, 2014. Life Lessons Learned from Truett Cathy's Funeral. As I just mentioned, today we're going to talk about legacy and how to leave a legacy. And to do this, we're going to look at a recent devotion called Four Ways to Leave a Legacy for Christ. This devotion was published on the 6th of March of this year, and it really centers around this passage from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Paul says this, "We constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's do this. As we open, Boyd, why don't we start here? What do you think it means to leave a legacy for Christ?
I'll tell you what, it's not, Tripp, and I've had to struggle through this over the years. It's not this life of perfection and, you know, never sinning or never letting people down. So that's a relief to start with. But it is that bigger picture of beginning with the end in mind. When I have my funeral, we spoke of Truett Cathy's, when my children and my friends are hopefully saying pleasant things about my life, what do I want them to remember about me? What do I want them to say about me that's meaningful, that modeled Christ, you know, that I deferred to them over a particular decision or an idea and loved them and served them maybe when I didn't feel like it or even when they didn't deserve it? And so I think that's it. It's the bigger picture of how do we want to be remembered from those that knew us the best. Did I love well? Did I serve well?
Boyd, I remember years ago, a practice that you encouraged me and a few others to do that I've never forgotten, and that is take some time and write a draft of your own obituary. And when I thought it, I said, that seems a little morbid. But the more I sat with it, the more I realized this is a very helpful spiritual practice, because I think we live day by day without thinking of that end and of what will be the lasting legacy we leave. And if you take some time on the front end of life to think this through and say, what do I want to be remembered for? How do I want to have lived my life? It ups the chances, I think, that you actually may reach that.
Well, exactly, Tripp. And, you know, we have so many plans around other things in our life that are temporal. We plan weddings. I'm glad we plan weddings, right? Those are joyful, wonderful occasions. But what about our plan around legacy? And it's not just money. Money's important. We do want to have a game plan around finances. But what's my plan to pass on character to our children and our grandchildren and our in-laws or whoever it is that God allows us to influence? And really being intentional to pray together with them and to have these conversations and to hit the pause button in life and to really be engaged in conversation so that people really do know us and know our hearts and we really do know them, because legacy is what is left behind, as we'll go, as we'll talk more about in a minute. But yes, I think it's very, very important that we are very intentional and prayerful about leaving a legacy for Christ.
I appreciate you saying that, especially in our culture. When I hear things like leaving a legacy, I think primarily financial. I think of a legacy fund or that sort of thing, because that's the common assumption we have, at least by and large. But I appreciate the way you framed that, because I think leaving a legacy is something everyone should aspire to, not just those who have significant financial means. But I think we forget that and maybe even get our priorities out of balance, where we think as long as those who come behind us are cared for and their financial future is secured, we've done our job. But like you say, that's only a part of the picture.
Well, in the verse you opened with is so encouraging. It validates what you just said, because it talks about that we're being prayed for, and we want to be worthy of God's calling, and that His power may fulfill every good purpose. There's the word purpose, every good purpose of God in our lives, prompted by faith. And we pray this in the name of the Lord, that He may be glorified in you according to His grace at work. And so there is a huge spiritual component that we need the prayers of people. We need to be praying for people. Legacy happens in community, and it happens with the prayers of God's people and the grace of God working through our life.
I love how you frame that, because it does pull other people into the mix, doesn't it? The word legacy literally means, like you said, something handed down by a predecessor. For us to understand that, we have to view ourselves as predecessors. And I think by default, we think of ourselves as kind of self-contained and self-fulfilled individuals. But to leave a legacy is to realize my life and the way in which it's lived doesn't just stop with me, but it extends to those that I know right now and those who will come after me.
And it really is an investment trip. You know, a person can go through their life and have never saved any money. Well, if they've not invested money, there will not be an opportunity for that to dollar cost average and compound in interest over years. And it's the same way relationally, and it's the same way emotionally, and it's the same way spiritually. It's the same way with our legacy. If I want to grow a legacy in Christ, then it's a matter of investing in that legacy over time and watching that build. And my goodness, then to see the fruit, it's like an orchard. And in the beginning, you have these little saplings, and there's no fruit. And the bad weather comes, and they get blown over and uprooted, but yet we stay consistent in nurturing these saplings, and that would be the character in our life. And we allow the Holy Spirit to grow it, and then, wow, over time, we've seen these beautiful orchards that have been there for generations, and then over time, they've learned to withstand the elements, and they produce beautiful, beautiful fruit.
It's such a helpful image of life, really, and of how character and virtue is formed. It doesn't happen overnight. We don't get zapped by a lightning bolt and all of a sudden turn into these fully formed, fully grown trees like an orchard, but it starts small and vulnerable. And at times it may have some ups and downs, but the goal is that when we reach our end, as we look back on our lives, we say, yeah, I started small, but have, by God's grace, grown into something that will leave a lasting legacy.
And I like what one of the son-in-law said. He knew me pretty well. When he asked permission to marry one of our daughters, and Rita was with me, he said, Boyd and Rita, I really want our marriage to leave a legacy for Christ. And I said, you're in. That's everything's gravy after that.
There
Thank you,
go.
You for saying that.
That's great. Let's pull from the devotion itself. Here's a quote from this devotional. And the deeper our love for God and the more we truly love well what He loves, people, His word, prayer, the gospel, His bride, the church, our enemies, and joyful obedience. I think that captures for me so much of what we mean when we say legacy is more than just financial resources, but it's this holistic picture. How does that capture for us a legacy vision that we can all relate to?
Legacy is fueled by love, and the outcome is joy. And you know, Tripp, if you could just, if we can imagine our life is like an automobile and we want that automobile to go certain places and accomplish certain things, love is the gasoline. Love is the fuel that gets us there. And we have to first be loved by our Heavenly Father so that we have this capacity then to love at a whole nother level that human love doesn't aspire to necessarily. And so where are my affections? You know, what captures my heart? What captures my affections? Is it a distorted love that's really all about me, or is it a true unselfish love that's about serving and giving to others? And I think as we grow in the art of love, and I love what you turn me on to the book about We Are What We Love. I think that's a great title. And he talks in that book about curating our hearts and allowing God's Spirit and God's Word then to align proper affections within our heart, and not allowing these other things, these other shiny things in life to capture my affections, but align my Savior, set my affections above, as Colossians says, so that my hope is in Christ, where I'm seated in the heavenlies with Him. And so yes, it's being loved by our Heavenly Father and receiving that love and then very liberally and consistently giving that love away. That builds legacy. If we're loving well, if we're being loved well, and if we're loving well, we will leave a legacy for Christ.
Boyd, we've already mentioned a few resources today. You mentioned Truett Cathy, who's written several books on leaving a legacy and doing business the right way and the way that really he built for Chick-fil-A. You mentioned You Are What You Love, a fantastic book by a man named James K.A. Smith, which is a book about how we grow into these deep-rooted orchard trees that have character and virtue to last a lifetime. But I want to focus now on the wisdom resource we're going to recommend today. And we're going to look at Billy Graham. And when I think of people who have left a legacy, you really can't do better than Billy Graham, can you?
You can't. And, you know, God knows how to choose someone, whether it's Bethlehem and Nazareth or whether it's a small town in North Carolina, and say, here's a man I can trust. And here's a humble man that I can glorify myself through. And I tell you, he is definitely one of my all-time heroes.
I saw a stat this week that said estimates are that Billy Graham has preached in his life to roughly 215 million people, which is just an amazing stat. Of all the people this last century who've lived and God has called into ministry, why do you think Billy Graham has such a lasting legacy?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question, Tripp. There's a couple of ideas that come to mind. One is, early on in his life, he wrestled with the authenticity of Scripture. And was God really true to His Word? Was the Bible really the inspired Word of God? And I remember reading about him going into the Redwoods in California and praying before the Lord. And he did come to the end of himself. He did trust God, that God was in control and this was God's Word. And as you can imagine, coming out of that, then the movement of the Lord through his life, through these revivals, people coming to Christ, were just phenomenal. So I think, Tripp, foundationally, that legacy of Scripture is either God's Word or it's not. There's really no in between. And so he decided in his heart and mind, this was the inspired, God-breathed Word, and he took it to heart. And yes, you know, he was an imperfect man, but yet he served a perfect God, and God took his imperfections and still carried out his will through his life. And I think one other piece that's critical to this foundation with Dr. Graham is this whole idea of humility. And a relative of his that I know well, we worked together a couple years ago, I was asking him who he admired most in their leadership and humility. And he mentioned that, you know, that it was his relative, Billy Graham. And I was like, wow. So would you mind unpacking that just a little bit? And I mean, it was beautiful what he said. He said, well, you know, Mr. Graham could pick up the phone and call anybody in the world and they would take his call. If not, they'd call him right back. And he said the beauty of the humility of Mr. Graham is, even though he could do that, he doesn't really know he can do that. It's this honesty and humility of saying, well, no, I couldn't do that. You know, and he really believes that about himself. And to me, that's the beauty of his humility. It's truly utter 100% dependence on God. And he's here to be a vessel for the gospel and to serve and to love people. And God blessed that. He blessed his commitment to Scripture and trusting God through his word. But he also gave him incredible grace trip because he says he gives grace to the humble. And he was one of his chosen servants that he did that.
I love the consistency of Billy Graham's life and just the sense in which the whole of his life was focused on inviting people into a relationship with Jesus, preaching the good news that Jesus died for us out of his great love. And it's a message that he never grew tired of and never seemed to grow beyond. I think there's that sense in which sometimes we think, well, we need to move on to the next thing or the next big thing. And you look at Billy Graham and you say, this is someone who knew you don't really move on from Jesus. You don't move on from the wonder of the cross and the love that we see in God inviting us into relationship where we can know him and be known by him. And I think that's part of just the faithfulness of this legacy, where he saw that vision and was faithful to it for year after year after year.
I like what a skeptic said. That sounds strange. I like what a skeptic said, but I read years ago that this unbeliever said about Billy Graham, I may not believe what he believes. In fact, I don't believe what he believes, but I sure believe he believes what he believes. And I thought, wow, that's a compliment. So this person was being honest. He didn't believe the gospel, at least at that point. He had not believed it yet, but he sure believed that Mr. Graham believed the gospel. And the other thing I would say about that trip is the simplicity of the gospel. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed that we have to be a theologian to talk to other people about Christ. And really, it's just telling our story. It's saying, here's where I was without Jesus. I was lost. I was undone. I was unforgiven. But then I humbled myself and I said, no, I need a Savior. And I trusted him. And I believe the gospel was the power of God unto salvation, as the Bible teaches. And I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He rose from the grave after 3 days, and he's living in my life now. And as you said, that simplicity, we think we have to, sometimes I think the enemy gets us all tied up in knots to think, well, I can't talk about my faith because I haven't been to seminary, or I'm not the pastor. But yet I think it's just the opposite. I think God puts us with people that love us and can relate to us and trust us. And then we can just simply share that story, our story, and then the story of the gospel.
There's people that seem to have favor from the Lord and will be remembered in their lifetime, others who may be remembered in a generation after them. When I think of people like Billy Graham, he's one of the few that I think books will continue to be written, history will remember him for centuries to come. When people are looking back 300-400 years down the road, what do you think the legacy will be? What will be remembered when they remember Dr. Graham?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. I do think faithfulness, you know, finishing well. This year he'll be 99 years old, and he's been faithful. He's been faithful through the hard times, the difficult times, beautiful wife who loved Jesus, and he had his own prodigal children along the way too. Franklin Graham, who now is a great stalwart for Christ, but yet he had his days away from the Lord, but yet his mom and dad prayed for him and trusted. So again, it's not having this perfect, sterilized family with no issues. In fact, I think it's just the opposite. When the enemy sees us taking a stand and trying to leave a legacy, he's going to attack our family. He's going to attack us. And so again, it's a matter of trusting God through these difficult times, even when our children are going through health issues, rebellion, whatever it might be. The legacy is, as Dr. Graham did, I want to remain faithful to the gospel, and I want to finish well by his grace.
The book that we would recommend is actually his autobiography, Just As I Am. You can find it on Amazon. We have it in our recommended resources on our website, wisdomhunters.com. One of the lines, he's very quotable, but one of the lines that I love from Billy Graham is he says this. He says, I've read the last page of the Bible, and it's all going to turn out all right. And there's a simplicity to that quote, but there's also a profound wisdom to it as well. And when I think of our conversation earlier about thinking of the end goal of our own lives, part of that is also thinking of the hope we have that things will work out in the end because Jesus has promised so, and that he will come back and make all things new. And there's such hope in that. And I think that ties into this idea of leaving a legacy as well.
It does, Tripp. And ultimately, we are tying our legacy to the ultimate legacy, which is our great Redeemer, the one who's coming back a second time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what a great legacy to be a part of. That's the end of the story, as you just said. And yes, we want to leave a legacy, but it's a legacy for Christ, and it's a legacy with Christ for eternity.
As we wrap this episode up, Boyd, a practical question that's come in, and I think ties in so perfectly with what we've already been talking about. The question is this: how do I invest in God's kingdom and leave a legacy when my resources are limited? And we've already kind of hit that a bit. This idea of leaving a legacy is more than just a financial legacy, but could you give us maybe one or two practical examples of a way someone can take a step in this direction of leaving a legacy if they have limited resources?
Yeah, I think about my grandmother, certainly had limited resources. However, when I think about her, I think about prayer, Tripp. And I think about early in the morning, catching her reading her Bible with her cup of coffee, listening to the Lord. And so her generosity was part of her legacy, but certainly prayer was. And so I would say, think about your giftedness, think about your passion in life around things that are really important, and just really pursue God with all your heart in that area. And if finances are part of that, that's wonderful. You may want a legacy fund to leave for your children, for them to learn how to give away money in a generous manner. That's always a good thing. But I would say be prayerful about it. Think about other examples in your life, and then just trust God that he's going to grow that in your heart and your life, and it's going to be left behind for others to be blessed by.
That's a great idea. That's wonderful. We'd love to hear from you. Future episodes, we'd love to include any questions that you'd like to submit. Shoot us an email at podcast@wisdomhunters.com, and we look forward to trying to work those in future episodes. As we've run for the last few episodes, we continue to have a promo at wisdomhunters.com. If you use the word podcast, you'll get 15% off your order of any Wisdom Hunters resource. And then, Boyd, you also have a special resource you want to mention as well.
Yeah, I know as dads, we always need help. We never grow beyond needing resources, and we always are looking for a good deal. So with Father's Day coming up, I do know we have this promotion of receiving Wisdom for Fathers free if any book is ordered by anyone going to our website. So I'd make that available. Check it out. Maybe give it as a gift to your husband or to your dad, and they would probably enjoy that, hopefully.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, that's going to conclude our episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Boyd. And we look forward to hearing from you in a future episode.
Thank you, Tripp. Wonderful. Always being with you is a great time. And so glad our listeners are hanging in there with us and enjoying these podcasts.
Thank you for listening to the Wisdom Hunters podcast. Continue your journey towards wisdom by visiting us on social media and at wisdomhunters.com, where you can download a free 30-day devotional ebook on wise living. Thank you for joining us as a Wisdom Hunter.